Ryan Gorman here with James Burlander, and now let's go to the hotline and bring in our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff, who you can find online at daytradefun.com. Jay, it's great to talk to you on this Monday morning, and we've got a key inflation report coming out this week. What is it, and how could it impact what the Fed decides to do down the road?
Well, it's going to give us a read on the core personal consumption expenditures, the PCE that we've talked about so many times before. That price index is one of the, I hate to use the term favored data points for the Fed, but it tends to be because they talk so much about it as far as Jerome Powell. And we're expecting it to rise 0.1%, something along those lines, month to month. And they're expecting the trend to continue at about 2.6 or so year to year. And if that trend continues, it's going to suggest kind of a, I don't want to say a slowdown in inflation, but we're trending slowly in that direction. So Thursday, we've got the, I think the estimate of the first quarter GDP numbers that's scheduled to come out as well. So those 2 days are going to give us some data. Wall Street can kind of go through, mull over, digest. And of course, the thought is, how will the Fed look at this? And is there a real possibility of a September interest rate hike, which is or interest rate cut, which is pretty much what everybody's looking at now, knowing the summer is pretty well lost as far as any hopes of any interest rate reductions?
Yeah, that would be the next real possible opportunity to see a cut, assuming the information comes in as the Federal Reserve hopes it would.
Yeah, we've got job reports that are going to be obviously coming out between now and as far as the next report. It'll be coming in at the end of next week. So there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be taking place. It's going to give the Fed a lot of different information. And the point continues to be they're looking for a substantial trend in a specific direction over an extended period of time. And right now they haven't had it. So the thought is if we can stack up two or three of these, Ryan, in a row, maybe that'll give the Fed what they need to take their foot, off the pause button for now as far as the interest rate hikes and move in the direction that so many people want them to go.
Now, they have decided not to move forward with more extensive rate cuts. They're holding back on that in part because they're concerned about inflation and this final stretch that we're in trying to get to that target number, that 2% that they were looking for. But some analysts, they're actually blaming the Federal Reserve for higher inflation. Why are they doing that?
Well, yeah, this is the group that called for six massive rate cuts this year. So obviously they look clueless. And now a lot of them are starting to send messages, you know, through the headlines and articles that most people aren't going to stop to read, saying that inflation is stuck where it's at because of the Fed. You know, had they acted sooner when we told them they should have, them, not me, we'd be much better off now. The problem is that if you were to go in that direction and start cutting rates too soon, we could run the very real possibility that that inflation would blow by us.
Yeah.
To the point that you can't catch up. And then you have runaway inflation. And then you've got a situation that is so much worse than it is now. But of course, Ryan, if that happened, they would blame the Fed anyways. I mean, it's never their fault. But what we do know is that the Fed has been able to keep things pretty much in check over the last few years, and that's good. And the thought process is they're going to continually go in that plan of action they've got, and until things change drastically, that's what they're going to do. And they don't care about political pressure. They don't care about, you know, if you're the CEO of whatever company, they don't care what you say. They're going to do what they've set out to do, and I'm glad for that. And that's one of the reasons, Jerome Powell, I'm a very big fan of his because he does what he says, and he tends to be transparent enough that we know what he's thinking and they know what numbers they're looking at that's going to allow him to take that next step. So, look, if we get one interest rate cut this year and we don't have an interest rate hike, I'm going to consider ourselves lucky. I would love to see one, and, of course, people are going to want two, but I think at this point in time, given what we're seeing, we'll have to wait and see. But, I mean, there's a real possibility we could end the year with no interest rate cuts and them saying, okay, we're going to roll into next year and just buckle up because, you know, next year is going to be the rate time of six or seven massive rate cuts because those people will come right out of the woodwork once again.
We're joined by our market expert, Jay Ratliff. You know, sometimes we just focus on what's happening here in the U.S. and we need to take a broader look at the global economy. And if you do that, then I think you judge how the Federal Reserve has handled all this a little bit differently, because our economy and our issue with inflation, as rough as it's been, certainly for many families across the country, a lot better than most places coming out of the pandemic. And there's no question about that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, there was a report 2-3 weeks ago that came out talking about just the global health of the economy is stabilizing for the first time in several years. And, mm-hmm. and that's good to see. But we have some pockets that you have just you look at Brazil, you look at other countries that are just fighting to go through some things that are just it's just unbelievable to think of. Those kind of things could happen here if we were not on top of things as we are. And of course, anything we do here in the United States has repercussions elsewhere. And that's what happens when you have one of the world's largest economies. That's what takes place. And that's further responsibility, and I think, on the Fed and the individuals there to make the right call, because they're not only helping to stabilize things here in the United States, but as much as possible trying to stabilize things around the world. And I tell you what, that's a tall order when you've got as many mm-hmm. moving parts as what we have right now.
All right, two things I want to get to on the aviation front. Let me mm-hmm. start with, I don't know if you've seen this story, but federal prosecutors recommending criminal charges against Boeing. That's a new report out this morning. What's your take on that?
Should have happened 5 years ago. Where were you, and what does it take? I mean, we had two plane crashes. Mm-hmm. We had Boeing admitting that they withheld information for years from the FAA. And in any other court of law, any other business, I'm sorry, somebody goes to jail over that. But with Boeing, it was a fine, slap on the wrist, and some people lost their jobs. That was it. But they learned their lesson, Ryan, because 5 years ago, they're never going to do it again. Mm-hmm. And here we are again. So, yes, you have to prosecute somebody. When you're putting people's lives at risk, as obviously is taking place, you have a door blowing off of an aircraft mm-hmm. that, thank God, nobody got injured in, seriously, because the force of that was so severe, it blew the cockpit door open that's, you know, sealed shut because of how we reinforce it. So we really dodged a bullet there. Thank God for that. And you've got to start holding people accountable. And sadly, it's simply not happening. The last whistleblower that came out, I think it was last week, there was a 200-page-plus report that accompanied his specific concerns. And when you look at that, it's amazing when you see what apparently over and over and over these same people are saying the same things, that they were forced to speed things through, use parts that were not approved or that were faulty parts on mm-hmm. aircraft to keep them going through the production process. And Ryan, when you have that kind of deliberate oversight, you know, these are decisions made by Boeing representatives. How can you not hold them accountable and go after them legally? You have to.
And last thing I want to ask you about, again, we're joined by our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff. This investigation into why that Southwest Airlines flight made a lot of news late last week, flew so low on its approach to land. What happened there?
We don't know yet, but it's the second time in 2 weeks that we've had a Southwest flight. One coming out of Honolulu got to 1,000 feet and started to plummet, and it was about 400 feet when they recovered, came back to Honolulu and landed. And this is a situation where you've got a plane on final approach into Oklahoma City that should be 3,000 feet and higher, and there's an alarm that goes off in the air traffic control site saying you've got a minimum altitude warning, and Southwest flight that was 400 to 500 feet off the ground, way lower than they should have been. And the air traffic controllers said, Southwest 4069, we have a low altitude alert. Are you good? In other words, is everything okay? Or is something going on? And they're like, everything's good here. And that's when they told them to quickly get over 3,000 feet and increase the altitude, because they buzzed a neighborhood. It woke people up. It was so low. So, that's... We can laugh about it because it's scary, but they got to find out. It may have been equipment failure that gave the flight crew inaccurate information. It could have been pilot error, and we've got to find out. And the FAA and the NTSB will team together to find out, and within a few weeks we'll get a preliminary report, final reports several months out. But having Southwest issues like this twice in just a matter of a couple
of weeks,
we have to say it, they were Boeing aircraft.
Mm. course
I'm
they
sure
were.
I'm sure that had nothing to do with it, but you know, somebody's going to ask. Yep. Me, 93 emails from coming in.
All right. Our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff, with us this morning. Again, you can find him online at daytradefund.com. That's daytradefund.com. Jay, great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Always my pleasure.
All right. When we come back, more.